With me, if you're able, and turn to Proverbs chapter 14. Proverbs 14, verse 34. Proverbs 14, 34, it says, "Righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people." Let's pray. Father, again, we are so very thankful for your word. And Father, I pray, as we look into your word, we'll see that this is not a political message this morning. This is a biblical message. And Father, it's a blessing to see how things are lining up in the world, exactly how you said things are going to happen. And Father, when we see things going on and we start getting fearful and confused about what's going on, all we have to do is go to your word and see how you've already said these things are going to take place. So Father, we look to you this morning and we thank you for who you are and praise your holy name, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. I'm going to start by saying, I don't care how you feel about war. If you like it, if you don't like it, that's irrelevant to me. It's between you and God, and you guys can work that out. I'm going to tell you what God's laid on my heart this morning about what's going on out there. And so what's happening in Ukraine may look like a political issue going on there, but I'm going to assure you it's very much so prophetic. It's prophetic in nature. It is a prophecy being fulfilled before our very eyes. You know, I've said many times it would have been great to be here on this earth when Jesus walked and I got to see the miracles firsthand and I got to hear the word preached from the word himself, right? It would have been great to have that. But we live in exciting times. And people are fearful and they're confused about what's going on. But let's get into the Word of God and say, why are these things happening? Let's find out what God says about it. We can get excited about what's going on. We don't have to like it, but we can get excited about it because we know that things are lining up. We're getting closer and closer, folks. Every day is one day closer. And I'm looking forward to when that trumpet sounds. Now, as I said already, Ukraine is not mentioned in the Bible. Not in there. Somebody want to go through and search that? You've got probably another 40 minutes. You can search and find it for me if you would like to, but I couldn't find it anywhere. It's not listed in here. But it doesn't mean that the events that are taking place are not biblical. That it's not happening for a reason. The stage is being set. The pieces are all coming together. It's interesting how God puts everything together so that His Word will come to pass. And you know, it doesn't matter how much man tries to frustrate what God's doing, it still happens. It still happens. Look at Jesus going to the cross, right? Satan tried everything he could to get him down off that cross once he realized what was happening. Couldn't happen. People said, why don't you save yourself, right? You say you're the Savior of the world, save yourself. He could not come down off that cross. He came to die. All those things came together for a reason. But the stage is being set. The actors are in place and showing their true character, by the way. Everything is coming together. Ezekiel 38 talks about Gog and Magog, the Russian enemies from the north, who in the end times will move south, making war with nations, including Israel ultimately. All of this stuff is going to take place. It's not pleasant to watch, though, is it? Turn on the TV and watch the news and see all these bombed out buildings, all these people who have lost their lives, all these people who are going to be maimed for the rest of their life because of what's going on. It's not easy to watch. It's not easy to take. In fact, I imagine it must be really terrifying for those who are actually living through it and enduring it. But the Lord above is working all together for good, right? It's hard for us to see that when these things are going on. How can God be using this for good? It's kind of difficult when we're going through a difficult time in our life to see how God's using it for good, right? But He says that He works all things together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. So we know that these working things together for good for those who are His children. That's not a promise to those who are lost. It's a promise to His children. His children. Do you know God's not worried or surprised? He's just not either one. He's got it all under control. His grace is sufficient for His children. You know that? He's guiding all things to their ultimate end. Do you know there's Christians in the Ukraine? Do you know there's missionaries working in the Ukraine? Many of them have left the Ukraine because they were told they need to get out of there. So they left. Some of them chose to stay behind. Some of them are still reporting on what's going on over there firsthand. And how frightening it is when those sirens go off and then you hear all the bombs going off. We must pray for them. We must pray for them. There are lost on both sides of this whole ordeal. And we need to pray for them. We today take our freedoms for granted. We do. Did anybody come here this morning expecting that we were going to be raided and that people were going to be slaughtered because of their faith this morning? I bet that didn't enter anyone's mind when we came here this morning. That we could face persecution, that we could be gunned down for our faith here this morning. Probably didn't even enter your mind. Because we take freedom for granted. We sit here today, we've been praying and singing and fellowshipping and worshiping God together and even reading His Word without fear of reprisal, intimidation, or persecution. It's been kind of nice, isn't it? I have to tell you, through my whole life, every time I've gone into the house of God, I've been able to do all these things without any fear. We take freedom for granted. It's a blessing, but we do take it for granted. We assume we will always be free. In fact, do you know our forefathers came to this country with the idea of not freedom of speech, but freedom of religion? Notice I didn't say freedom from religion, but freedom of religion. That was the reason they came here. In fact, Congress... I'm going to quote, Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion. That's the first part of that amendment. Or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, or abridging the freedom of speech, or of the press, or of the right of the people peaceably to assemble and to petition the government for a redress of grievances. But the very first part of that had to do with religion and the free exercise thereof. They couldn't do it. We have freedom, and we take it for granted. We almost lost it. No, we didn't. Yes, we did. We almost lost it. Why? Because we cowered down, and we said, whatever they say, they're only here to help us, right? No. But it's for that reason that this tops the list of amendments. And actually, it's intertwined throughout the Constitution. Thank God for it. Now, war is a regrettable thing, right? I mean, there's some people out there that like war. I'm not a fan of it, but sometimes it's necessary. Sometimes it's necessary. Some wars are unavoidable. Some are completely unjustified. And some have resulted in greater peace than if war had never been fought. America exists because of fighting the good fight of faith. People were willing to come and lay down their lives for the freedom of religion. They fought the good fight. You know how many people, you got to study history, but do you know how many people laid down their lives so that we could assemble here freely today? We take that for granted. No one in their right mind likes war. No one in their right mind likes war. Nobody in their right mind wants to go to war. War is not glamorous. It's not romantic, even though Hollywood sometimes tries to portray it that way, right? It's a terrible thing. It's a regrettable thing. But there are some things that are worse than war. As this war in Ukraine is fought out, as we see the war on global terrorism and stuff going throughout and continuing on, we need to answer some important questions. First one is, how should believers look at war? I've been told by people who profess to know Christ that God is totally against war. He would never sanction it. He would never sanction the going in and killing anyone. I said, have you read the Bible? Did you miss some of the important parts of the Bible when he sent them in and said, wipe them totally out? Leave none breathing. None. Well, God would never do that. Read the Bible. Read the Bible. By the way, again, we are still suffering the consequences because they did not listen. What should be our attitude toward our involvement in war? And where are we going to get our answers about war? Now, first of all, we will not get right answers from the bleeding heart liberals who are afraid of going to war, and we're not going to get it from the warmongers who can't wait to get into war, right? We can't get it from the opposite ends of the spectrum. Where are we going to get the answers about war? Well, if you want the right answers, you got to go to the Word of God. You got to find out what God says, because that's the only place they're going to be found. There's believers today that say war is always wrong, no matter what. They said Christians are to be peacemakers. In every war in our history, from the Revolutionary War all the way down to the War on Terror, there have been people who would not go to war, would not support the effort, calling themselves conscientious objectors, and then they try to use the Bible as their defense. But they don't understand two important things. One, what the Bible really does teach about war, and two, the nature of human nature. Back in the 70s, the hippie said, would it not be wonderful if there was a war and nobody showed up? How would you have a war if nobody showed up? It'd be hard to fight with nobody. If nobody shows up, what are you going to do? I would say you don't have a war if nobody shows up. somebody's always going to show up. You may not like it, but they will show up, and the reason is to take away your freedoms. During Vietnam, they burned the flag in protest, saying, "Make love, not war." They burned the flag. I still, to this day, we're going to get there in a moment, but it just grates on my every nerve every time they burn a flag. And they say, "It's protected under the freedom of speech." I'm sorry. As that flag goes up in smokes, is it crying out anything? Is it saying anything? I don't hear any words coming from it. It's an action. It's not protected by freedom of speech. But we've allowed it. We've said it is. People, they'd understand, many people died in World War II just so that these demonstrators could have the right to demonstrate. When they burn the flag, it's a gross and senseless act that they take part in. Do you know that you can stand at the Lincoln Memorial and preach and protest all you want, and that's your right? But take a can of paint and start throwing it all over the monument, and what happens? You get arrested. You get arrested. Yeah. So why don't we pass legislation that says you cannot burn the American flag? Why can't we do that? Respecting the American flag is no different than respecting our patriotism when we stand and not kneel for the national anthem. If everyone in World War II had believed the way hippies believed, they would not be going around saying peace, love, and flowers. They would have been saying Heil Hitler instead. Just saying. Ukrainian civilians recently took up arms. Took up arms. They were interviewing some of them. No training, no nothing. They took up arms because they wanted to protect their way of life, what they've known. And they were willing to give their lives because they want to be free. It is foolish and it is wicked to desire war. Foolish to do that. But it's also naive to believe that war will never happen. Can't stick your head in the sand and just expect that things aren't going to happen because you don't want them to. It doesn't work that way. There are wicked people in this world, and they want to kill. It's a fact of life. In fact, the Bible tells us that man's heart is desperately wicked. Who can know it? So as long as man is on the planet, there's going to be evil and wickedness in the world, right? They want to kill, they want to steal, they want to destroy without even blinking an eye. And they don't even care. It's just human nature. It's human nature. The sin nature, and it's unleashed. People say the more advanced we get, the more advanced we become with technology and all, the more educated we become, the more civilized we become, the more mellow and kind we will become. Except for that's not what the Bible teaches. It's not what the Bible tells us. Rather, that is humanism, and that's what they're saying. Man is getting better and better and better and better and better, and we're not. Matthew chapter 24 and verse 6. Matthew 24, 6 says, "And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet." If you have a red letter edition of the Bible, that's in red. That's because Jesus spoke those very words. Those are from Jesus, saying, we are going to have these things happening. Be not troubled. So why are we troubled when war breaks out? Be not troubled. In the last days there's going to be wars and rumors of wars. What are we seeing? What are we seeing? Kingdom will rise against kingdom, nation against nation. Doesn't say that things are going to get more peaceful. Right? I love it when man's always constantly saying, we got to have peace, we got to have peace, we got to have peace. It would be nice, but we're not going to have peace while man's trying to broker it. The Bible also tells us that evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, right? We're in 2 Timothy. Jesus is the one who will end all wars. He's the one that will be able to proclaim World War I. He's going to be able to proclaim that. But there's not going to be any peace on this earth until the Prince of Peace brings it. Jesus is the one that's going to bring peace. And when he arrives, he will bring peace. And when that happens, whoa, it's going to be nice. But until that day arrives, this is a fallen world, and we have a fallen nature, and there will be war. There's no way around it. So is it ever right biblically for a nation to go to war? And should a believer participate? Well, the clear answer to both of those is yes. There are times when the Lord actually encourages, and even commands nations to go to war. Well, that can't be. God is love. God's a lot of things. He's also the God of judgment. War is regrettable. There are worse things than war, though. Things which can sometimes only be prevented by war. Some people say Vietnam was wrong because it wasn't our war to fight. They said that about Iraq. And the U.S. and NATO are today saying Ukraine is not about us. So here we cowering in a corner while they are terrorized and unchallenged. We have an administration that reacts instead of acts. Leading from behind, sending a message of weakness. Weakness. We have lost the world's respect. And by the way, Putin is not afraid of any of us. Not in the least bit. And let me just say, China's watching very closely. And let me just say this too, Taiwan will be the next. People say, oh, you're crazy. Well, we'll see. Time will tell, right? I'm telling you, it's going to be interesting. We've made it clear to the world we are not concerned about borders, especially our southern border, at all. You can say this is not our war, but again, that statement's naive. Some of us are too young to remember, putting me in that category, right? All right, it's not working for me. But many of us remember that the communists made no bones about it. It's their goal was world domination. In fact, they said, fight us now or fight us later on your own soil. See, we've been very fortunate because very little war has happened in our nation for a very long time. Many of them that we fight are in distant lands. Don't get too comfortable. We're inviting it to come here. It's almost like our administration has sent out gold engraved invitations. Come on, bring it on. We'd love to have you. Freedom is not free. Never has been. While God is against personal vengeance and retaliation, He does allow a nation to defend itself and protect the freedom of the people, all people. God is for war if it's a righteous war. We are here today because men and women of the United States of America gave their lives. Gave their lives. Put themselves in harm's way. Some of them died. Some of them were maimed. But they gave their lives. So we could have these freedoms. I want you to know it wasn't because of George Clooney or Jane Fonda that sacrificed their lives for us. They talk a big talk, don't they? But I got news for you. You know, I don't remember seeing any of them out there on the battlefield putting themselves as human shields for anybody. But they sure talk like they were out there. They sure talk like they gave up so much. In fact, if I remember correctly, it wasn't movie stars, musicians, or anybody else, but the United States military. Tell you, I think we should tell them to go make their movies and make their music and whine somewhere else. Don't want to hear it. I have to tell you, if they lived in Russia or China, they wouldn't be so spouting of their mouth about things they know nothing about. In fact, if they exercise their freedom of speech there, they'd probably be put to death. The very people who are against war because of loss of life can possibly be the same people who are for abortion. Have you ever noticed that? They are so quick to say, these lives matter. Right? Certain lives matter. But when you ask them this question, and by the way, I was told I was racist because I said, no, all lives matter. You can't say that. That's racist. I said, how can all lives matter be racist? Because you didn't say, Black Lives Matter. I said, you see, that word all is inclusive of everyone, including the unborn child in the womb. All lives matter. Oh, I hit a nerve, right? Even the unborn child in the womb. See, because to these liberals, all lives don't matter. Only the ones they choose matter. Well, last I remember reading in the Word of God that God is the giver and taker of life. Therefore, all lives matter. God is the only one that gets to choose who lives and who dies. We don't get to choose that. the same people who are for animal rights, but against the rights of the unborn. On December 7, 1941, there are no records of movie stars treading the blazing waters of Pearl Harbor. On September 11, 2001, there are no photos of movie stars standing as human shields against the debris and falling bodies descending from the World Trade Centers. There were only policemen and firemen, underpaid civilians, civil servants, who gave their all with nothing expected in return. Throughout the course of history, this country has remained free, not because of movie stars and liberal activists, but because of brave men and women who hated war too and gave their limbs and flesh. Many of them laid down their lives that we may have freedom. We should give honor to those heroes. They are the ones who should be acknowledged, that their deaths were not in vain. You want to see the true heroes? You want to see the true human shields? Walk through Arlington Cemetery. The brave Americans who do not get on television and talk about being a human shield, they were human shields. Thank God there are many who have risen to say, you know what? These nations and these organizations won't take a stand for what's right. Well, we will. We can pray and support the right in this war, as this is a righteous cause, and we should be willing to continue the battle for the right on all fronts, whether an end is in sight or not. Every single day, we should be praying for the people of Ukraine. We should be praying for the Russians as well. First and foremost, we should be praying that people are getting saved. And from the reports that are coming out of the Ukraine, people are coming to know Christ. Praise the Lord. Unfortunately, it takes something this drastic to get people to realize their need of a Savior. Some will say, we cannot police the whole world. Okay, so what can we do? We can pray. We can pray, right? In fact, it's probably a whole lot easier to pray than to grab one of those weapons and go out and fight, right? In 1 Timothy 2:2, it says, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. We're supposed to pray for kings and all that are in authority. First and foremost, what do we pray for them? That they get saved. That's the most important thing, right? How about if we pray for revival and a great awakening to the truth? Do you know in the Bible, righteousness and truth are linked together? Yeah. Deuteronomy 32:31, for their rock is not as our rock, even our enemies themselves being judges. When our nation is right with God, we are standing on the rock. Anybody seen that? When our nation is standing with God? When our nation is right with God? Be nice to see that, wouldn't it? When we're not right with God, we are on sinking sand. God is our defender, and we had better not forget that. The Bible says that some trust in chariots and some trust in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord. Yeah. Hope we don't forget that, because the battle is coming our way. As I mentioned, we are inviting it. As we continue to show our enemies that we are weak, we're just inviting them to come. You know, we can point our finger at Putin for shedding innocent blood. But when you're pointing your finger at Putin, how many are pointing back at you? We as a nation are responsible for shedding innocent blood. Abortion. We should be praying every day about that. For everyone we kill, the meter is running, and God is not... God is going to collect the debt. Yeah, He's going to collect the debt. Oftentimes, God will use war as a judgment on a nation. Read history of the nation of Israel. For 490 years, they were not right with God. They were rebellious in many ways. And it was all rooted in their refusal to observe the Sabbath day. What did God do? Well, He allowed the armies of Nebuchadnezzar to invade and take them captive for 70 years. 1/7 of 490. Their Sabbath debt was paid in full. People think they got away with it, right? No, they didn't. Their debt was paid. They were supposed to follow God's law, and they didn't. So God got it, eventually. We need to pray for an awakening, and in these last days it could happen. But freedom is not free, nor is revival. I thank God for freedom. I like the freedoms that we enjoy. I like the fact that when they said, our government said, you cannot meet together. Wait a minute, I have a constitution that says I can. I have God who says we can. Right? Thank God for that. Thank God for those who have defended our freedoms in the past. Continue to fight for our freedoms today, and will fight for our freedoms in the future. Thank God for those people. But America has remained silent too long. God-fearing people have remained silent too long. How do we get where we are today? God's people sat on the sidelines and did nothing. That's how we got where we are today. We always want to blame everybody else, right? It's the abortionists, right? It's the liberals, right? No, it's God's people who sat on the sidelines and did nothing and allowed this to happen. Do you know it's easier to maintain where you're at than it is to try and regain it after you've given it up? Yeah. We need to lift our voices united in a humble prayer to God for guidance and for the strength and courage to sustain us through whatever the future may hold. May God bless America, the land of the free, and may we rise up and demonstrate that we are still the home of the brave and the greatest country on the face of the earth. But it's only because of God. See, we get this idea, look at what we did. No, God did this. And how do we repay Him? We tell Him we don't want Him. Jesus said in John 15:13, we'll turn over there. John 15:13, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Jesus did just that. He laid down his life for you and for me. That war is already won. Already done. If you know Jesus Christ, you're on the winning side, right? That war's done. If you're not saved, it is spiritual freedom that you need. And it was purchased for you at a very high price. We need to meet God in prayer. Not just today, but every day. For those in need, for peace, and for revival. Folks, we could have revival. In fact, we're going to have revival meetings the end of June here. We as a nation could experience revival. What keeps us from revival? We, God's people, keep us from revival. We could have it if we want it. God's told us what we need to do. We could have it if we want it. All these people that say revival will never happen again in the United States of America, it's because God's people don't want it. If we truly wanted it, we could have revival. But we have to want it. And not just say we want it, but follow through on the actions that are required if we truly do want revival. Let's pray.